The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. June the 7th. Good morning to Jared.
Good morning.
You got it, buddy. Here it is at 7:05 in the morning, and the news is brought to us by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring community and compassion. Sharon. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Good morning, Linda Bott.
Good morning, everybody. And yes,
sitting
we are
there looking here. at your Spider-Man stuff.
Well, no, I'm looking at what's happening this weekend, and of course, not only the date, but also in Enjoy the Magazine. But let me give you a quick update on the weather today. Our temperatures will be about 78. It's 58 currently. Tonight will be overnight clear night of 54. Tomorrow calls for a high of 87 and a low of 62. Now, Sunday is 97. And, you know, we have Taste of Reading on Sunday. So that means we're out and about. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe somebody could tell me, but I don't know if that's like a downtown area where you go from booth to booth.
Yeah, it's downtown.
Is that what it is? Okay, yeah. That'd be fun. So we'll be in shorts and out there, out and about. I think it's from 12 to 4. I'll look it up. And I'm trying to find out where you can get your tickets, because I know we're going, and it's just a nice way to be able to go out and celebrate Reading eateries and drinkeries, if you want to call them that, establishments. Sunday calls for a low.
Drinkeries?
Drink whatever you want. Low over 65. Don't challenge me this morning. Monday calls for a temperature of about 103, and Monday night, 69. Tuesday, 106, Carl. Can you believe that? Wednesday, 101.
Okay.
Thursday, 101.
Here's,
okay.
What he's trying to tell us is, what's the high today?
Today's 78.
What about tomorrow?
87.
Okay. So if you want to get anything done... You may want to start today and finish early tomorrow. Okay.
Anything outside.
Anything
outside. I was thinking about that this morning as I left. I said, I need it.
It's cold this morning.
Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793. And, of course, it's Friday morning, which means that's one of our favorite times where we get to see Pet of the Week, chosen by our very own Amy at Haven Humane. Good morning, Amy. And you brought in a beautiful gray mix.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I have Helix with me today.
Helix. It's a good
Helix.
Name.
It is
a good
name
for it. Yeah, it's a fitting name.
So Helix is about 4 years old. He is a what we call a blue brindle. So he's a blue gray.
Like a Weimaraner. If you know what color a Weimaraner is, a hunting dog, is that they call him the gray ghost.
Yeah, with stripes though.
But
so
with stripes,
he has like
beautiful.
A brindle undercoat.
Oh my gosh, he's a beautiful dog.
He's a beautiful
great
dog.
Great disposition.
And he came over and he wanted some of my coffee licked my fingers there.
I think his only issue is that he's almost too friendly. He loves people. He is just like a people person kind of pup. He is really good at giving hugs, which we're trying to tell him, you can't jump up on people unless they ask for a hug. But he wraps his paws around to your back and, leans on you. And he'll just stay that way. He wants to sit in your lap. He wants to be next to you.
But there's no humping involved there.
No. No okay. humping. No.
So he's just he just wants attention. And
he wants to look at you like you're his significant other. I've had to tell him a few times today.
I saw
that
him
That is inappropriate.
Today.
Quit staring at me like I'm the love of your life, because we know it's not true.
Well, no, it is true, because you're holding the treats.
Well, no, even without the treats. He just
Now, you were sitting in the chair out there. We have a chair that's, a leather chair that's kind of, closer to the ground. I mean, it's not like a tall chair. And there he is on his hind legs, leaning sideways.
Oh, just put his paws up to say hi.
Yeah. Now he's up here, so he's, making sure.
He's a good boy, yeah.
So he could put his head sideways so he could reach up to lick your chin.
Yes, and then he likes to lay his head just on your chest. He's like a...
Look at him now. He is up on...
I want to be part of this.
Yeah, he's got his front paws up here on the table, and he's just kind of looking around saying, I need to be loved.
Right. Well, we always love our partnership with Haven Humane, because, as you are... are a no-kill shelter or becoming quickly to a no-kill shelter. We love to see, and he's got great teeth too. You know, they're very nice.
Very nice, pretty
good bones.
He's got a white, white chin.
Yeah.
And he's white underneath. You know, it's hard to describe him except that we'll, try and get a picture of him and put him on our Facebook page. Yeah. In fact, we should. But he's up here and he's just quiet. And he's very relaxed, and he just wants to be parked.
Yeah, he's not a barker. He's a very quiet dog.
So tell us what's happening with Haven Humane this week.
So we are doing our Stuff the Bus still. So that's actually today. So at Banner Bank in Reading on Cypress. See how cute he is?
Yes.
Sorry, I can't get over this.
Yeah, I know he is.
Between
he's
1 and 3, we're going to be at Banner Bank stuffing the bus.
Okay.
So throughout the last few weeks, we've been collecting non-perishable human food items for Stuff the Bus, and we've been discounting adoption fees for anyone who brings in a donation, which has been wildly successful this year. We have so much food. Like, we were really counting down till today so we could get it gone because there's so much. It's overwhelming. But it's amazing that the generosity that we've seen doing this for Stuff the Bus. Haven Humane will be at Banner Bank between 1 and 3 today, along with KRCR. Come on out, donate. If you can adopt, we're still a drop-off center. And we are extending our adoption special. So even though today is the day that we stuff the bus, if you bring in any non-perishable human food items until next Saturday, the 15th, all adoptions are only $25, and we will take that and donate it back to Salvation Army even after Stuff the Bus. So definitely come out and see. We have a very full shelter right now. We've been trying to really let people know that, you know, we are trying our hardest to become no-kill, and that's, like, the hugest goal of ours, and it's all something we are – every single one of us is very passionate about, but we are full right now. We have a lot of dogs. We have a lot of cats. So if you've been thinking about adoption, now is the best time to do it. You know, not only is it discounted, but, you know, you're going to empty out a kennel for the next. So.
And this is, I've taken a couple pictures. I'll put it on Facebook, but he's just a good dog.
Yeah.
And, okay, so how about with kids?
Oh, he's great with kids.
Okay, and so ages, because he is a little bit larger.
Yeah. No, he's not a knock-you-down kind of dog either.
Oh, okay.
He's
so
very
you can
gentle.
Have kids five and
yep.
like that.
Even
well, that's
smaller.
Great.
Yeah, he's very gentle with children. He has met a dog or two, and it didn't really go that well, but it wasn't like it went so bad. I think it's just he hasn't found the right fit for him. I think maybe a female, submissive female, he would be okay with. I think he's only done dog introductions with males that he didn't get along with because they were both trying to be alpha or something.
Right.
I think, like, if it was a really submissive female, but it's always worth doing an introduction because dogs like people. Just because I like people in general doesn't mean I like that certain person. So
it's like dating.
Yes. So dogs are the same way. Just because they do well with other dogs doesn't mean they're going to do well with that particular dog.
Right. Well, so. You know, or this could be good for a family with maybe with kids,
yep.
But no dogs. And now they're looking for their first dog.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be good because, I tell you, he's the kind that probably the kids could roll around with him.
Oh, yeah. He's extremely tolerant.
The only problem would be is that their faces would be soaking wet from him licking them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, thank you. We always appreciate you, Amy. And, again, our partnership with Haven Humane, and we always look forward to seeing who you're going to bring in and who this dog is just, yeah, he's that's going to be a hard partner. That's going to be hard to part.
Yeah, he's a lover. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for joining us today. I know you're on your media run, and we just really appreciate it. Helix is up for adoption, so give Haven Humane a call. Go online or stop by today at 11 o'clock. And,
wait a minute. Hold on to that one
yeah.
for a second.
And so tell us your number again, why she's getting completely face-licked by.
So you can contact us at 241-1653. Our visiting hours for adoption are 11 to 5 Monday through Saturday. We're also open from 11 to 7 on Wednesday. So, you know, if you need some extra time after 5, we're open till 7 on Wednesday.
All
so
right.
Come see us.
Thank
I'm
you so much.
I'm a little jealous of the dogs over there kind of like up there with you like
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Look at that. Okay.
Thanks.
Hey,
I want to talk a little bit about yesterday. We went to – well, we've got a few more minutes left.
There's some more.
Do you want to talk about it after the break?
No, let's talk about it.
All right. So we played in a special tournament yesterday at Riverview Country Club. And that's probably, what, our fourth year?
Oh, no. It's got to be more than that. Probably at least.
Media day for Special
it's
Olympics, right?
Right. And the only time we have touched clubs is since last year's media event. But this year I was really pleasantly surprised that you and I actually were striking the ball pretty good today or yesterday. And we just were, you know, just really, really nice people.
I want to do a shout out to Maddie and Marty.
That's it.
And our golf pro,
Ashley.
Ashley, the new gal that's over at River View. She's the new golf pro. I loved her story. Was it Minnesota?
She's from Minnesota.
And a very northern end. And so she grew up, she's the youngest of four. Yeah. And so she grew up hunting and playing golf. And she's so good.
Was it three older brothers or something like that?
I'm not sure. I think she had older brothers. I'm not sure.
She is really a nice woman, though. I mean, and you know what, guys?
Very accomplished.
She can really strike that ball.
Yes, she can.
And it's not just striking the ball, you know. But when she gets in close, she drops the ball onto the green within puttable distance. Now, Linda sunk a putt, like a 30-foot putt. Yesterday.
We got to take a break.
It was perfect.
Well, when we come back, I want to do a little bit more shout out about this event, if you don't mind.
And I'd like to talk about a little bit about June 6th event last night.
Yes, we went to
the Eaton House last night.
Share our day yesterday with you and do some thank you to some certain people that have really, you know, definitely their stars were shining brightly yesterday. This portion of the show is brought to you by
our friends over at Crackmaster Windshield Repair, Jeff Worst, the veteran. Has a automotive windshield repair. Well, I say automotive, any type of rolling stock, you might say. He can do RVs, and I've seen him doing RVs that have that little bitty chip in their windshield. And there's Jeff fixing it. Or cars, trucks, you got it. Quality workmanship. He guarantees his work. He's not going to waste your time. He's a man of high integrity and professionalism. If you can't fix it, he'll just tell you. He's not going to fix it and... It looks terrible, like it goes right through the center of your windshield, and you can't see out of it. That's Crackmaster. That's Jeff Worst. Give him a call at 241-8373 for an appointment today, or head on down to 3208 South Market Street. That's Jeff Worst, Crackmaster Windshield Repair of Reading. We'll be right back after these messages. 7:16 in the morning, about 58 degrees right now, going up to 86 today. We'll be right back.
How about joining us, Armstrong and Getty,
for the morning lineup right here on KCNR from 9 to 12.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Relax, restore, and rejuvenate at Wind River Spa inside Wind River Resort and Casino. Indulge in some body pampering with our summer spa specials featuring oxygenated facial, summer glow body scrub, CBD warming massage, spa pedicure, and 15% off all waxing. Retreat from the demands of daily life. Book your summer spa specials now featuring farmhouse fresh products. Gift certificates available for purchase. Summer spa specials at Wind River Spa.
Learning is fun at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. for Little Explorers, a hands-on learning program for children ages 2 to 5. Stories, crafts, and so much more. There's a new theme every month. Looking for something fun to do on the weekend? In addition to ongoing exhibits, Turtle Bay offers family and science programs every second and third Saturday each month, included with admission and always free for members. Don't miss out. Visit turtlebay.org for more information.
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Sudhalter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Marianne, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea after looking at some other options. When she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did it. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Good morning and welcome back to 96.5 FM. That's right. Congratulations. And to all the people who helped us become 96.5 FM. And for 1460 AM, we're on the air. We've just been having some difficulties down there. We're finding out Dan Bean was here.
They're putting the, and they do this for businesses about surges and power and all this. So they're going to run a check on the lines.
Yeah.
So, that was really nice. Dan Beans, fortunate. We are blessed to have, Dan Beans is the director of REU, and this guy is, one, he's a tough guy. You look at him, and he's very affable.
Very Boy Scout.
But he is a tough guy, and he has come up with this plan that it's going through to the Board of Supervisors, the City Council, about fire mitigation and how they're going to do it. And if you did not hear yesterday's show, please, tune in on the archives to yesterday's show. He's on at 8 o'clock and he lays out the plan how to put a fire break, literally a fire break around Reading, and we can do it, and he's going to do it.
That's really cool. Well, after, that show yesterday, I popped up in the last 15 minutes because, Trish had to take off, but we, changed our clothes, ran out, went over to Riverview where it was the Special Olympics. Now, this is the kickoff thing that they do. They bring in the pros. But yeah, this is why we have the golf. It's the Pro-Am this weekend that's happening at Riverview. People come from everywhere. In fact, our painter, Dan Scott from Eagle Eye Painting, is in the terms of being almost like a pro. He's that good. And so he plays in that tournament as well. So we saw him yesterday, and we had this great time. Again, Maddie and Marty, father-daughter team.
What a great, super people they are. I mean, she is so sweet, and she hits the ball really well.
She hits the ball really well, and her dad's her coach.
And what a great guy he is.
And his son plays on the Simpson golf team. So, or did play on the Simpson golf team. I'm not really sure if that's present or past, but I know last year it was present. And so anyway, it was really nice, and the Riverview Country Club, Golf and Country Club, really went through with the storms, lost a lot of trees. So we could see that finally, I know for a long time, there were a couple with the flooding and everything, they had a couple holes underwater.
The course is in great shape.
Great shape. That's what I was leading to. It was great. They've cleaned things up. They have debris. And it was so beautiful. We saw fun. To be out there with nature, you saw, the geese and their baby ducklings goslings. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It was really cool to see all the nature.
Well, and they had some in the trees that are down. They had this giant cottonwood tree in the front nine, maybe around number four, that had fallen, and it just fell last week. Last week it finally had enough and collapsed, but the thing was huge.
Yeah.
But
had a lot of years on it.
The thing I want to talk about is Curtis Byron And the people that put this on, it's a great event. It's an honor to be asked to play there. Nothing changes hands. Nobody gets a plaque, nothing like that. It's just, you know, it's kind of like
honoring the kids.
Honoring the kids and the young people out there and the Special Olympic athletes. And it was great. So.
Honor, thank you very much.
The second thing that happened yesterday was at the Eaton House last night. Eaton Barron House last night was a celebration in memory of D-Day. And I met a lady last night who still had the telegram of her cousin, a cousin in the family. She had his photo. The telegram that came from the Department of Defense, from the Department of the Army, saying that Charlie was killed, and that's the way they put it, Charlie was killed in action 6 July in this one place, San Lorenz. It may have said where. It may have just said a letter will follow, and that was it. That's how people were
notified
back then, because there were so many and people didn't have telephones and they lived out in the country, so they got a telegram that said that Charlie had been killed. And this was the original telegram. I mean, it was fragile.
Wow.
In this. But the ceremony last night was special. Arch Pugh, who was on the board out there of the house, gave a remembrance of what D-Day was, the people that fought in this, the men that went across the beach. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that President Trump gave a speech yesterday on D-Day to a gathered multitude there that was so good that even his detractors, Joe Scarborough, Jim Acosta, who is always after the president, they all said the same thing. He said exactly the right. It was the best speech. It captured the feeling of America and those brave souls that went across that beach into hell. So it was interesting to hear that. But it was also the 75th anniversary, and we remembered those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for this country, for what they believed in. They weren't fighting for anybody. They weren't fighting for, they were fighting for a way of life that we stood for in this country. And, of course, you always fight with your brothers. I mean, the battle is there, and your family is there, your band of brothers. But it's also about what this country stood for and still stands for. And sometimes we forget that. And one of the things we do forget is that we have people still in harm's way that still die, but yet you don't hear a lot about it. Anyway.
Well, and we want to do a shout-out to the Barron Eaton House. I mean, I've not been there. People were calling saying, where is it? Well, it's on West Street. You might go by. They've got flags. Maybe you think it's a personal residence because it was the residence of Judge Eaton. And it's on 1520 West Street. So it's, where the jail is. It's between the jail and
The parking structure. It's right across from the parking structure.
And so this is a piece of Reading history. And the docents dress up in the attire. I learned something last night. I mean, and I couldn't even just, I could, there wasn't enough time. We got there and boom, 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 boom. We were part of the ceremony. And it was my great honor. I posted this on Facebook that it was my great honor to sing the national anthem. And boy, I was really moved yesterday because we did watch a lot of, we were watching The Longest Day before we went down there. We ended up staying up to midnight watching more of it. Just about, the sacrifice and what you just didn't get, the bravery. And what it means to me when I sing the national anthem. So it was a very patriotic moment. And then we had some patriotic songs afterwards. And then, of course, they provided ice cream sundaes. But the people who put their passion behind this, and I think, there's a generation, and that's what Arch was saying, there's a generation of people who that really love the history. And so those women are looking for more women that would love to be docents of this great history. And they have just so many pieces of beautiful finery of that era and history again. So you want to go check out the Eaton House.
They have little bone dishes. Place where you put your bones if you're having like chicken or something.
Well, it's a formal set table, and I've never seen that before, so that's great. It's probably very Victorian.
Okay, now I didn't get to go through the whole house, but
Me either.
I will say is that this one photo they had of Judge Eaton, who died, I guess, several years, back in 2003 or something, or four. They had a photo of his great grandparents. Okay, so it's one of those typical farm pictures where the man is standing there in this black suit with a white white shirt, no tie, and mom is and his wife is sitting on a chair next to him. Both of them very, very serious, kind of scowly. He has his hand on her shoulder.
Pioneers.
Kind of that. But in the photo is like a golden retriever sitting next to her with a big smile on his face. It was the greatest photo. If you don't do anything else and go in there, go into the
well, it struck you funny.
It did. Go into one of the rooms there, and as soon as you walk in, make a right, and you'll see these photos on the wall. Look at that photo. Mm-hmm. It is great. It was the dog. Dogs have not changed a bit in photos.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to do, I really want to cover five things you need to know today. Do a little tribute to somebody who passed away. And we also have tickets to give away for some performances
in
town.
And I'd like to do a big shout out to Ben Comer, another Marine that was there at the Eaton House last night.
How nice.
But he is a, like I said, a former Marine or from Reading, and listens to the show, and it was such a pleasure meeting you, Ben. And don't be a stranger. You always know where we are here. And this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank, you're getting ready to have a grand opening here very soon. And at Hempstead, at 192 Hartnell Avenue in the Rady Shopping Center. So just remember is that it's Cornerstone Community Bank that helps you move your dreams forward. Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back, 7:31 in the morning, about 57, 58 degrees right now on the 7th of June.
Shasta District Fair. Shasta Strong is action-packed with Waterworks Park Kids Day, free to kids 12 and under at only $1 for everyone else.
And our Carnival Ride Special.
Free Senior Day.
Gear Jam and Auto Racing.
Hypnotist.
Crazy Wacky Magicians.
Side-splitting comedy.
Country music with Logan Mize.
Yeah, I've been thinking about you.
And all entertainment is free with paid fair admission.
Support our youth at the Junior Livestock Auction.
Visit the Kids Corner and stroll the grounds.
Shasta District Fair opens June 19th.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
This morning, Drive Time is brought to you by Eagle Eye Painting, our painter of choice. For more information, go to danscottpainting.com.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AddisonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
You'll find comedy, country music, and more this year at the Shasta District Fair June 19th through the 22nd with the insane Skip Banks cast of wacky characters. Louis Fox one-man sideshow featuring side-splitting comedy and magic tricks. The comedy show of master hypnotist Tyson. Plus, country music with Chad Bushnell and Logan Mize. Go to Shasta District Fair and Event Center.com and save up to 30% on admission tickets and carnival ride wristbands. The Shasta District Fair opens Wednesday, June 19th.
In the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I done said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong line.
And you might remember that voice. That's Dr. John, an important part of the melodic gumbo that is New Orleans music scene. He's the magic of Dr. John, the six-time Grammy winner and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member. Passed away from a heart attack at the age of 77. So rest in peace. He played with greats like Aretha Franklin and the Rolling Stones. And, of course, that was one of his biggest hits, which was top 10 in 1973. Carl and Linda Baugh here, KCNR 96.5 FM, Your Talk Radio with Free Fire Radio. And we have somebody very special on the line today.
Yeah, let's go to Mark Baird. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah. Yeah,
we had phone calls making sure that we remembered you were here.
We knew you were here.
You guys get a little passionate, you know? I mean, I understand the passion, but it's like, he's supposed to be on. And I'm like, well, yeah, but we knew he was here. But, you know, I mean, I didn't know right then that you were there because we were just still on there. And there wasn't our board up saying that you were there. And so we go into, well, hey, when we come back this, because we don't say, and Mark Baird, if Mark Baird's not there, we go, well, I guess he didn't show up.
Right.
No, we fill it.
Well, good morning,
it's
Mark.
It's called filling.
You're here, Mark. How are
but
you?
You're here.
All right. So what's going on?
Big news, right?
Yeah, we've got a couple of federal cases going forward. The big news is the CFR versus Padilla, the representation case. The appeal was just filed in the Ninth Circuit, and the great news is we have a new attorney that's joined our legal team, and Alex Kaczynski is his name, and he was the Chief Justice of the Ninth Circuit Court for many, many, many years, and he's a fantastic opinion writer. In fact, most of the cases that were overturned in the United States Supreme Court were because of briefs written by former Judge Kaczynski. So,
well, Mark, can I ask a question about this? When you say most of the ones that were overturned, was that overturned from the Ninth Circuit or just others?
Yes.
Because the Ninth Circuit has a reputation of being like the most overturned regime. In the United States.
It's actually the second most overturned circuit in the United States, but 80% of the cases that made it to the Supreme Court were overturned, and most of them were based on the dissents that Judge Kaczynski would write.
Wow.
So Alex Kaczynski wrote the appeal for us, and he's going to do the oral arguments, if there are any, in fact. If the court reads the appeal and just says, hey, there's a summary judgment here, then there won't be any oral arguments. But if there are, he'll make them.
Hey, Mark, give everybody an update about what you're talking about. We're more familiar with it because of, you know, we have our State of Jefferson show, and we, you know, Terry's calling, other people calling in. But some people, they know about the State of Jefferson. They know the reasoning behind it, you know, our lack of representation in the state. But what you're talking about right now, can you kind of bring them up to date on this?
Sure. This case, in a nutshell, alleges that it is impossible for one state senator to represent 1 million people, and that it is impossible for one assemblyman to adequately represent 500,000 people. And we're talking about direct representation. Like Thomas Paine said, representation must grow as population grows, so that those we elect are never able to form a separate agenda from the voters. And of course, we have an oligarchy in California. We have three branches of government, as everyone knows. Two of those branches have been allowed to grow like uncontrollable weeds since 1850, and yet the legislature hasn't grown at all since 1870, or it's even earlier than that, about 1876 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the same number of representatives, but we've added 39.5 million people to this state without adding one single representative to the people's house. And as you see by the state of California, this state is run amok and disregards the people's will all the time.
Well, that's absolutely true. And so the lawsuit then is going to force somebody to make a decision then.
Well, I think it's a question the court has to answer. What's enough? I mean, is it okay for one representative to claim to represent 1 million, 2 million, 10 million people? We've had state senators actually look at our people and say, I never have face-to-face meetings with my constituents. I just don't have time for them. Well, what kind of, is that representation or is that tyranny? We suggest in our lawsuit that it's not only tyranny, but it's a question that must be answered with a dramatic and an extremely large increase in representation. And we hope it will be one that California will not want to comply with, that it will be easier for them just to break the state in half and let us go our own way.
Well, you know what? When we talk about breaking the state in half, we don't really want that, do we, in half?
Well, no, it's not half. It's geographically, it's about a third. It's
yeah.
About one-third of the landmass
right.
of California.
But they would still be facing the same problems. Let's just, you know, if they took, you know, the area we're talking about here, there's still the vast majority of the people still live in the South.
Yep.
Would they, I mean, that one, and so another, so somebody's going to go down there and they're going to say, wait a minute, this hasn't gotten any better. we're still facing this.
Well, it will. But what we submit, Carl, is that it will get better because if you have a legislative district
mm-hmm.
where the voters have real power, in other words, this is an arithmetic game. This is a purely an arithmetic problem.
Mm-hmm.
If one vote would elect a state senator, that guy would have to think about his voter, wouldn't he?
Oh,
because he could lose the election with one person changing their mind. So let's just do the arithmetic. What's the right number? He'd have to care if he only represented 100 or even 1,000 or even 5,000. He would have to pay more attention to the electorate than he would the money that gets him elected. And that's what we're saying. And
oh, no,
right
no,
now,
I quite agree with that. I quite agree
yeah.
with that. And I'm sorry I didn't mean to interrupt, but what I was
no,
thinking
no,
is
okay.
if they did do this and so the upper third of California was separated, which is really
yeah.
kind of what we want, that's the bottom
yeah.
line. Okay, so now they have, you know, so the people up in the north would have fair representation.
But absolutely.
But the people in the south, and not that we really care a lot about, you know, their woes at that point, they would still have those same problems. They would have to change. They would have to bring on more representatives. I mean, this could be, for them down south, it wouldn't be much of a difference unless they brought on another 50 senators and 300 legislators.
Probably even more.
That's what I was talking about. The bottom line is,
we can only control what we can control.
Control, right.
And so if we are able to achieve liberty through adequate representation for our own people, that's a pretty good start. And I think what would happen is the Southerners would say to themselves, hey, how do we get what those folks have? And then they would begin to work to restore representation for themselves. And also, we have plaintiffs that are from Southern California. Those plaintiffs will be allowed to have demands as well. So simply allowing Jefferson to leave may not get the state of California totally off the hook. They're going to have to do something to restore representation for everyone. That's really the point of the case.
Well, and that's what I thought, you know, that where the upper third has we fixed it, but then the lower two-thirds, those people still have their problems, and they're still being swayed by money. Of big money that's coming through there, and they don't have that much of a say. Right now, it's affecting us more than them, but it's the whole thing is representation for all the people. And that's the bottom
exactly.
line that I see the state of Jefferson as a strong point. It's representation for all, fair representation, instead of,
yeah.
you know, instead of us being, you know, I could say us and them, but it's all people that are being hammered by a group of people that are controlled, in my am not always controlled, but there's money and there's all types of these things that happen that impact on people, and they have nothing to say about it. Another gas tax. I mean, you know that's got to hurt the working poor everywhere in the state. But yet,
it does. It hurts the common guy, and it hurts the average guy, and it hurts rural Californians worse than it does city dwellers. But what the suit is designed to do, because the suit is Citizens for Fair Representation, not Jefferson, this suit is designed to give a dramatic and substantial increase in representation to all the people of California, and we from the state of Jefferson hope for an additional outcome from that, but there are no guarantees.
Right.
There's no way to judicially split a state that's constitutional. We hope for that outcome, and there might be a path to that outcome, but the point of the suit is to restore adequate and meaningful representation to all Californians. And what you do with that representation to restore your own liberty is your business, of course.
Right. Hey, we're here with Mark Baird, and he's explaining about this lawsuit that's going forward here, and the addition of a counsel who is a nationally known an astute jurist that has written opinions that have changed, that have overturned decisions of the Ninth Circuit. And he has not only written the opinion that's going forward, but he is there to speak at the, or to represent the people at the Supreme Court, if I understand this right. And
at the Ninth Circuit Court, and then later the Supreme Court, which is undoubtedly, this case will undoubtedly end up in the Supreme Court, and that's our hope. Yeah.
Well, because you know what, it's not just us in California. I think you've got people in Washington State, you've got people in Oregon, you've got people in other parts of this country that are running into the same thing. The urban areas have taken over the rights of the people in the rural areas. So,
you know, it's funny because this is exactly what Justice Frankfurter said would happen in his dissent in Reynolds versus Sims.
Mm-hmm.
This is precisely what he predicted.
Well,
he said to the court at large, if we do this, we'll create a nation that has an entirely city point of view, is how he put it. And that's exactly what happened. Now, the very court that got us into this mess to start with, it is the same court that's telling us we don't have the grounds to bring a lawsuit against the state of California, and that's what we're appealing.
Okay.
So the court created this mess, and the court had better fix it, because they're the ones who are logically in charge of this at this point.
We're here with Mark Baird. Mark, can you hang on to the other half?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Sure.
Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. It's only going to be 86 today, but 106 on Monday. What's that tell you? Call Martin and Pam. Let them get their crew of highly trained professionals out there to your place. Make sure that your filters are good. Make sure your air conditioner is working at its top, and it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg because it's not running efficiently. That's Alliance Heating and Air. They can work on any type of heating or cooling systems, and they've been voted best in the North State for a good reason. Give them a call, 221-2642, or learn more at their website, homecomfort.org. We'll be right back with Mark Baird and this very important legal challenge going to the Ninth Circuit Court.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/changethe culture.
The Redding Rancheria Head Start program is a comprehensive preschool learning environment where everyone is respected and included.
Rancheria is really good. You know, they do a lot of stuff with the community and for the families.
And especially a Head Start like this, they give 150% towards the kids. It's a really awesome program.
The program is planting seeds. They get more education here, so this is a great, great Head Start.
What I really like about the Head Start is they're really into their culture. They work on their language, both Wintu and Pitt River.
The Reading Rancheria is giving people an opportunity to grow, helping build this community into a stronger place. And they're very proud of their heritage.
Coming together for the kids in education, it's powerful.
The Reading Rancheria Head Start program is free to those eligible. Learn more and enroll at readingrancheria.com.
Riverfront Playhouse answers the question you didn't know you wanted to ask. What if the entire works of Shakespeare was summed up by the Three Stooges? Be prepared to laugh your artsy self silly as Tyler, Isaac, and Keith condense everything the Bard ever wrote into one 97-minute show. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, written by Long, Singer, and Winfield, directed by Jen Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtime's Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, May 18th through June 15th.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. You know, what we have to do is get all of our producers on the same sheet of music here. Because Jared, we're used to working with Jared. When the music comes on, we're on. But the other people, we're not on. So we need to know that, because now I'm used to being able to say, you know, stupid things, because I think the mics are off. Dude, did you hear anything weird in there?
Nope.
Okay. No, he's shaking his head. I can hear that. 7:52 in the morning here. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. Head on down there this weekend. You know what? Go down and buy ammo, because come 1 July, your chances of buying ammo right away are not good. You got to go through the background check, and who knows how that's going to work. So we're talking Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Locally owned, locally operated, the only place I buy firearms is Bastiani Arms. Head on down there this weekend. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Hey, it's 7:52 in the morning. We're here with Mark Baird. We're talking about, of course, you know, State of Jefferson, but about this lawsuit that is could force the, if it was found to have merit, could force the whole way that people in California are changed, the whole way they are represented. And it could be, Mark, help me out here. Mark, could it be that they say, okay, so we're going to add 50 more senators and 4,000 new assemblymen? Could they do that?
Well, I mean, look, that's the way it has to be. I find the statement, the state of California says, oh, no, this can't be done. Well, I find that statement indefensible when the government, we created, the people created the state of California, not the other way around.
Right.
And it is an indefensible statement for the government we created to protect our liberty to turn and face us and look us straight in the eye and say it's no longer convenient to represent you, so we're not going to, and you can't make us. And that's basically what the court has said up until now. You can't do this. Since everyone in California is equally harmed by lack of representation, you don't have any grounds to sue. Well, like I said before, the court did this. And they didn't find general harm in Reynolds v. Sims or Gray v. Sanders or Baker v. Carr. There was no general harm there. But all of a sudden, when the people of the state of California want to undo this, it's a general harm. We think we can beat that. We think the judge acted very inappropriately. Our attorneys agree. And what we hope to do, the best outcome for us would be the Ninth Circuit to remand the case back to the trial court and order Judge Mueller to build a three-judge panel. Because if she does that, then our primary jurisdiction for the appeal is the United States Supreme Court, and they have to take the case.
Well,
we don't have to ask their permission.
She was going to do that before on one day, and over the weekend something happened dramatic.
Yeah.
To have her change her
mind. That's one of our allegations.
Yeah.
That there is no precedent in the history of the United States. There's no court precedent for a judge to order a three-judge court and then change her mind later.
Yeah.
And we think she acted inappropriately based on illicit conversations with a court that was not briefed on the case.
Yeah.
And we think she used that advice in order to alter a judicial decision that she'd already made. And we think we've got a pretty good appeal here. But if you don't mind, Carl, I'd like to make a shameless plea because,
Sure. Look,
folks, we've been in this for years. We've spent $500,000 almost that we raised $2 at a time. Wouldn't it be a shame to be on the brink of restoring liberty to California and restoring adequate representation to California and we lose because we can't pay the attorneys? So please go to SOJ51.org, $5, $2, what, you know, $100, $1,000, whatever you can afford, because we can win this unless we can't afford to pay the attorneys.
Well, you know,
and there is no justice. There is no justice if you can't pay. So please help us win this.
You know what? And let me give you a shameless plug. You know, many people scoff at the state of Jefferson. I think many people scoffed at the early people back on the in the colonies that said enough is enough, that we need to have fair representation. I realize this has been an uphill fight for you all, and you have never backed off. I may not get along with a couple of the people at times, but I have to say that you have our support, and I think you have a lot of support from people that will never say anything, you know, like the people that all of a sudden voted a president in who was totally different. Because they needed a change, but you never heard them say anything until the day it happened. I think that that people misunderstand sometimes, and you know they don't realize that this isn't about the people who are doing this. This is about for all of us that to have representation
that
works. So
I couldn't agree more. And we're also doing other things. We have a Second Amendment lawsuit in federal court to restore the right of Californians to exercise their Second Amendment guarantees. We're paying for that as well. We have Second Amendment sanctuary county resolutions we're preparing so that we can functionally show people that we can separate ourselves from the thought process of the greater state of California. And we can restore liberty county by county from the bottom up the way it was intended to be. Help us stand up, show up. You know, it's you may not agree with everybody all the time. I certainly don't. But I do agree that something is gone badly wrong with the state of California. And we, the people, have all the power. We've always had it. We just need to start using it again so we can restore liberty to a state that most of us were born in.
And it, you know, and it's true. And I'm really glad to hear that quote that you did from the Reynolds versus Sims about the judge that says we're going to be turned into a large city, and the only people who count is the cities. And we're starting to see that in our national elections. And if it wasn't for the Electoral College, which many of the Democrats that are running for office, running for presidency, are advocating, it takes a look at I saw a photo or a drawing of what the election would look like. It's like a one, it's in three spots. It's New York, West Coast of California, and Texas, parts of Texas, not even all of Texas. And the rest of us, rest of us don't count. If you don't like it, like what's happening up here with us, imagine if the Electoral College was gone.
You're absolutely right, Carl. You couldn't be more correct, and Judge Frankenfurter was right. He foresaw this, And all you have to do is look at the movements like in Illinois, trying to kick Chicago out of Illinois, Eastern Washington, the state of Liberty, the state of Jefferson, Upper Michigan, upstate New York, even Western Maryland would like to separate from Baltimore because people are tired of their voice not counting, their voice not being heard. We have an assemblyman who may be called to testify, a former assemblyman, says that he would have
to, I'm sorry, we have to run, man. We are at the end, but let me tell you that Jefferson State of Mind is on our station every Sunday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. with Terry Raposo and Carpenter. You can learn more and follow what's going on our station there. But, Mark, as usual, we learn a lot, and we appreciate your articulate defense of the people of California.
Thank you, and thank you, and God bless you both.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot of surprises for you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
That businesses may be looking for answers.
I think that is an indication that this is perhaps a confidence problem. That being said, that means if these issues with the trade get resolved pretty quickly, that we could see job growth bounce back rapidly.
Economist Gus Fauché. President Trump is again defending his threat to impose tariffs on Mexico to force that country to crack down on illegal border crossings.
When you're the piggy bank that everybody steals and robs from and they deceive you and they've been doing for 25 years, tariffs are a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful word if you know how to use them properly.
Mr. Trump appeared on the Laura Ingraham program on Fox News. Negotiators for the two countries are sitting down again today in Washington for a third round of talks aimed at looking for an agreement. Democratic presidential frontrunner Joe Biden has flip-flopped on federal funding for abortion, saying he no longer supports the Hyde Amendment.
I'm going to fight to protect a woman's right to make her own personal decisions when it gets to her health care.
A quick turnaround for Biden after attacks from almost all of his 2020 Democratic rivals. The University of Alabama Board of Trustees will vote today on whether to return a nearly $22 million gift from a donor who recently called on students to boycott the school because of Alabama's new abortion law. The gift from a real estate investor is the biggest in school history. In Virginia Beach last night, attendees at a memorial service for the 12 victims of last week's mass shootings were told these shootings will not define us. The first of the victims was laid to rest yesterday. The St. Louis Blues are now only one game away from their first Stanley Cup championship, beating the Bruins last night 2-1 to take a 3-2 lead in that series. News and analysis at townhall.com.
The following is a true story.
My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under $1 a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
One of the few remaining big box bookstores is about to be sold.
Barnes & Noble says it's being acquired by Elliott Management, a hedge fund, for $476 million. At $6.50 per share, that's about a 9% premium on the company's closing stock price Thursday. Elliott bought the British bookseller Waterstones in June of last year. Many have blamed Barnes & Noble for the demise of independent bookstores, but it in turn has been ravaged by Amazon.com and other online competitors. The sale is valued at about $683 million, including debt, and it's targeted to close in the third quarter, if approved by regulators and shareholders. I'm Ben Thomas.
Missouri's Secretary of State has blocked a move to authorize a referendum over the state's recently enacted abortion ban. The so-called heartbeat bill bans abortions after 8 weeks. John Ashcroft says there are limits to the people's right to a referendum. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Wally Hines. A U.S. commander says a show of military force in the region has prompted Iran to step back.
The top commander of American forces in the Middle East said Thursday Iran has chosen to step back and recalculate after a United States buildup of military assets in the region. General Frank McKenzie spoke with three reporters accompanying him to the Gulf. The USS Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group, four Air Force B-52 bombers, and additional batteries of Army Patriot air defense systems were rushed to the region after U.S. intelligence picked up on Iranian threats in the first days of May. McKenzie added he still has concerns about potential aggression by Iran. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Officials in Colorado are considering a plan to tear down and rebuild Columbine High School. They say the site remains a, quote, source of inspiration for potential gun violence 20 years after a mass shooting there left 15 people dead. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 8:05 in the morning in the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, and community is Shasta Regional Medical Center here on the 7th of June, 2019. And Linda?
Well, good morning, everybody. And let's go to our phones. We have two of lovely people that we like here, and then we'll go to our weather after that. But they are very busy with their appointments. So let's go to Susan, our Wells Fargo advisor, and let's hear what's happening in the market. Susan, welcome to the show.
Good morning, everyone. Well, major averages are in the green this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 317 points at 26,037. The S&P 500 is positive 35 points at 2,879. And the NASDAQ Composite gaining 138 points at 7,753. Three most actively traded stocks on the New York Stock Exchange, Barnes & Noble up 64 cents at 661. Bank of America positive 30 cents, trading at 2,758. And Freeport McMoRan up 49 cents at $10.68 per share. For local stocks of interest, PepsiCo up $2.04, trading at $134.02. UPS positive 70 cents, trading at $98.70. Verizon up 34 cents at $57.88. In the bond department, the 10-year treasury note is priced to yield 2.07%. And over to commodities, gold is up $8.40 an ounce at $1,349. Silver up 22 cents at $15.22 per ounce. Crude oil up 88 cents, trading at $53 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Oh, Susan, thank you so much, and have a wonderful weekend.
And that's Susan Eastman.
Thank you.
Right, and at 2705 Park Marina Drive, you can get a hold of Susan at 243-7561. She is the first vice president of investment officer, part of their select group of premier advisors.
And we have appreciated her so much being a partner with us as well. And speaking of partnerships, our next caller this morning is the owner of Adamson's Peak Performance, where we are back in the gym. Joe, you always call in on Friday mornings with your fitness tip. And what do you have for us this week?
Well, good morning, Linda. Hi, Carl.
Hello.
Well, I wanted to talk about walking today. The fitness tip would be to include walking in your overall health and fitness plan. I think our community has done an amazing job of creating trail systems. There's dirt trails, paved trails. I mean, I think that's one of really the highlights as I look at our community of what we have to offer. And walking can do a lot for our health and fitness needs. I wanted to point out, you know, three major benefits as I see it. Number one is it's a great stress reliever. It's a chance to just get out there and kind of get your head right or catch up on things with your spouse, plan out your day, and so forth. And that's important. Secondly, it's a great tool for recovery from more strenuous exercise. As you know, we have a gym and we're, you know, big believers in HIIT training and strength training and so forth. And, you know, that gets you sore, that it takes recovery and so forth. And walking is a great tool getting to help get rid of that soreness and get through that workout. And then lastly, it can help create a calorie deficit. You know, as we get older, that weight wants to kind of creep up, and anything that we can do to help burn a few calories here and there and create that calorie deficit and maintain our youthful weight, anything that we can do is helpful. So get out there and enjoy Redding's awesome walking trails.
Okay. That's, you know what, that's absolutely true. Because you can't just get exercise by running in circles, screaming and shouting and jumping to conclusions. So, yeah, Linda got me the smartwatch.
Yes.
And so,
oh, good.
So now, you know what, you know, on a regular basis, it buzzes me and tells me to breathe. And it kind of bothers me because I'm thinking, well, am I not breathing? And then I check, so then I have to go over and check my heart rate, make sure my heart's still beating if I'm not breathing. So
now maybe you can get it to buzz you and tell you to walk.
Yeah, I mean, it tells me to do everything else around here, the ultimate tether. Okay. Hey, Joe, thank you so much. And you know what? Joe's and Kathy's Addison's Peak Performance is the atmosphere is welcoming. The place is immaculate. It's got every type of workout that you can imagine there, from the I'm going to punish you until you just lay in a pool of sweat to starting off and working up from there. So
absolutely.
There you go. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. All right, so the weather, let's go to the weather. Our highs today will be 78, our lows of 54. Tomorrow calls for a high of 87 and a low of 62. Sunday will be 97. These are all clear skies, by the way. Monday, again, we're going to be going up to our first date of triple digits, 103. And Tuesday, we're up to 106. Weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated, where senior and veteran discounts are welcome, 365-3793. Now, Carl, do we have any more calls? Okay. So we thought... We usually have Lamalfa scheduled
for
today.
Well, you know what? We're never sure because of all the things that he ends up having to
right.
do. But we, they got a hold of us, so we'll see. You know, he may call in. Sometimes he calls in a little bit later, but let's catch up on some other
things.
Nice
to have Mark Barrett be able to call in, though, and hear what's going on there. We do have tickets to give away. Should we go there? Okay.
Yeah.
So everybody's been waiting. I have, first of all, the Reading Dance Center, you probably have heard their commercials. We've been running a PSA for them. And I have got tickets here for June 8th. Hello. That is this weekend, of course. It's a matinee performance. And then for evening performance as well. You call and let me know. But it's the Reading Dance Center. And this is going to be a show called Firebird and Let It Move You. A wonderful dance. And if you're, I always say, support community. So give us a call here at 605-4567, and we'll get you tickets for that Sunday, I believe. There we go. And later on in the show, probably towards the last half hour, I'm going to be giving away the Mamma Mia tickets, a couple more. But, you know, today was Dean Martin's birthday, Carl.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow. I know it's all you girls are probably passing messages back and forth. Some of the things you mentioned
all
earlier,
over Facebook.
Yeah. The Taste of Reading is on. Unfortunately, if you haven't gotten your tickets, it's too late. But that's going to happen at the Reading Sculpture Park at City Hall. And there will be over 1,500 attendees there experiencing local food, wines, and craft beers. Live music on the stages. And proceeds from the event go to the Rotary Club of Reading West, a nonprofit entity, and they support local high schools and students, community events, and local improvement projects.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the T.R. Woods Park Project and the waterfall at the end of Cypress Avenue.
Well,
So the event's open to all ages, but you need to have an ID. So anyway, that's going to be this this Sunday. And think about it for next year because it's a great time. We're going to be there
absolutely.
With friends
Taste
and wander from spot to spot.
Hey. So as I said earlier, Dean Martin, and we're going to go to the phones in a minute. Dean Martin's birthday was today. He was born June 7th, December 25th. He was born June 7th, 1917 in Steubenville, Ohio. And he was a great man and great entertainer and great to have been able to work with him. So happy birthday, Dean, and for all the lovely years to work with you. Thank you. I've been blessed. And, okay, a long-awaited phone call. We're very happy to have Congressman Doug LaMalfa with us this morning. Good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Hi, is this Linda?
Yes. How are you, buddy?
Hi, Linda. Well, I'm kind of dragging today.
Did you have your coffee? That's what I said. I said, tell him have his coffee and give us a call here.
I don't drink coffee, so.
You don't? How do you survive being in Congress?
Well, everybody I know that drinks coffee, or not everybody, but it seems like two-thirds, they say stuff like, well, if I don't have my coffee in the morning, then I can't do anything. Well, I don't want to be dependent on something like that.
I like it.
I just pound through, you know? My wife says it's not good for my blood pressure.
Well, absolutely. I
respond that my job isn't good for my blood pressure. So,
well, oftentimes, you know, Carl and our thoughts are with you because we each day appreciate the fact that when a person like yourself takes office, that it's such a toll. It's not like you're running and skipping down the streets of Washington and then getting on a plane and coming back to your hometown. You are stretched in 5,000 that you can't even put a figure on it. And I just think of what it must be in order to close your mind down at the end of the day. But, you know, I think maybe not enough appreciation is sent your way to say thank you for taking the job. And how is it going for you? How are you today? What's going on?
Well, you really do hit on it there. I mean, 4 hours a night sleep on average does take its toll, and I'm
4 hours a night?
That's about average, yes. As you say, it doesn't really turn off. You know,
right.
There's a lot going on. And
do you ever lay there at night, Congressman?
Extremely important.
Do you ever lay there at night and you think, you know, I don't understand why. I mean, and I don't mean because of you're not quick enough or bright enough, but do you ever lay there and say, I don't understand why this is happening now? Why do people react in a way that they wouldn't ordinarily if it wasn't for politics?
Carl, I cannot understand how a sovereign nation does not control its border. I cannot understand how, when you have rampant disease in the streets of our major cities in California and others, that steps aren't taken immediately to make sure that we don't have medieval era disease running through the streets because we can't get a handle on garbage collection and you know how homelessness is going to be dealt with. My wife returned from a trip to India, you know, just a few weeks ago, and they just drop their garbage on the ground and keep going there. And you see a report here recently that, you know, we're sitting here, all perched on a pinhead, worried about if we're using a straw at a restaurant, and 95% or so of the ocean's plastic is coming from 10 rivers that are eight are in the area of Asia, India, like that, and two of the rivers are from Africa, you know, so we're not perfect in this country, but we try to recycle, we try to do these things. Now we're finding that most of the recycling is going to the dump that we try to, is going to the dump that we're trying to recycle, because the market's not there from China for dealing with plastic. So why aren't we doing things that make sense? Why aren't we building more water storage? If indeed climate change is happening like the left religiously gets on the floor and talks about every day, why in the world are we doing all these things that don't make any sense in terms of our national security? And, you know, so yes, Carl, we can go, and Linda, we can just go all the way down the list of I don't understand.
Well, Congressman, I just read an article, and this wasn't from a, you know, you could call it a conservative news area. It's coming from the L.A. Times and the Washington Post and New York Times, and they're all running in on this, is that L.A., is on the verge of collapse. The City of Angels is on the verge of collapse because of trash and rats and typhus and all of these things, you know, that just like you said, the amount of garbage that's being put on the streets and it's not being picked up. I mean, they're saying they've lost control in Los Angeles and that homelessness has raised has risen 16% since last year.
They're up
to 60,000 people, 60,000 homeless.
Their city leaders want to blame something like, they're calling it illegal dumping, because they don't want to say the word homeless is causing it. They don't want to say illegal immigration or migrants or whoever are causing it. They don't want to say what it really is. Let's keep going down the list. Our forest practices, you know, right now we have clear skies because it's still, you know, the end of spring and the mountains and areas are wet and everything's green. Okay, well, 3 months from now, we can be talking about, hopefully not, something like another car fire. We can be talking about another campfire in Paradise, where I was just last night. To give a good piece of news, they had their high school graduation last night on campus at their football stadium for Paradise High School, which,
Yay.
3 months ago wasn't looking like it was going to happen. And you want to know about the really good people that really, really boosted helping make that happen? Our, you know, salt of the earth backbone type people of Northern California.
Yeah.
Our loggers came in and helped them to remove the dead trees that were going to be a hazard around that football stadium, which used to be really pretty crowded in there with trees. And we all went up there, you know, several months ago and looked at that situation. And there's a lot needed to be done. And those guys and gals, they came in and, you know, some of it had to do it on a paid basis, but a lot of them were just doing it just helping out in order to help make this happen because they saw the importance of these high school seniors being able to have a little bit of normalcy come back, at least on their last day of school, their last experience. And, you know, the joy on these kids last night was just pretty amazing.
You know, I can see that because everything that they had, and everything that had been in their lives had changed so dramatically. Probably, you know, with, you know, their homes, people they knew dead from all this. And to be able to give that one time where they graduate from high school together as a group. Because from this day on, they probably, there will be times they don't see each other. Maybe perhaps a reunion in 10 years when hopefully that Paradise is rebuilt by then. I have no great expectations that in 10 years that it will ever recover the way it was.
No, it'll take 10, you know, every year is going to be part of that building block. 2 years, it'll look a lot better than it does right now. It'll take 10 or 15 to maybe look at like it has a real population of somewhere approaching maybe half of what it used to be, you know, just because of the time factor of things. But those kids at that school, they came in second and third for the whole section area. I think they said 17 counties last night. I believe it was in math and English skills, despite all this.
Wow.
And their athletic teams, they competed in 17 sports. 8 of their teams won league championships, despite all this. And 6 additional were second place in their league. So 14 of the 17 athletic teams of the boys and the girls were in the top 2 in that, despite all that, having to go, you know, they're going to school at a big building out at the Chico Airport, and I don't know, God knows where they're practicing for their games and such. I mean, so can you imagine the resilience of this? So that's
well,
one of the best stories to come out of a really bad story, you know?
It's a great story, and I, you know what? Wouldn't it be interesting if people followed this? Here's a school that lost, you know, as we just talked about, their town, their friends, all of this, and yet the resilience of this community for that to happen. What a great story that is. I mean, that should be like front page news and not some of the other things we see around here.
It made a lot of news. You should have seen all the statewide and maybe even national media
great.
That was there last
That's
night.
Super.
There's a lot of big-time cameras. And, you know, Ron Howard, who, you know, we all remember Opie.
Yeah, producer or director now.
He's a director. Yeah, directs a lot of stuff.
Academy Award winner.
He has he's had a camera crew in the Paradise area for a few months now, and they were there covering it last night, of course, and interviewing and catching it all. So that's all going to be part of the story here pretty soon.
Do you think there will ever be a movie about the campfire?
I think that's what Ron Howard is producing. Yeah,
okay.
So
it's going to be the story.
Probably documentary type, but it could turn into a drama. Who knows? I mean, those people coming down the hill there.
Oh gosh, the heroism.
Skyway
of people.
Amidst the
yeah.
fire and, you know, the stories of heroism and you know.
And loss.
regular people figuring out that there's a 94-year-old woman living in that trailer that she probably isn't getting out, stops his car, goes in and pulls her out, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah, there's a lot of good to talk
okay,
about.
So
that's... our loggers, you know, these yeah. are the same loggers I want to mention. You know, Trump signed that hat for me at the State of the Union there. Maybe you remember that?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And it was the Paradise High School football hat. He'd been out to visit Paradise, and so he kind of knew the gig already when I mentioned to him on the House floor. And so he signed that, and a few days later, when he took it up to the Shasta Cascade Logging Conference, and they had their big Friday night auction, I offered up, you know, you guys think you get some pretty good money for this hat? And they kind of winked and said, yeah, we'll get some pretty good money for it. They got $23,000, and they donated all of it to the Paradise High seniors.
Oh, gosh.
These same loggers. These are the people. These are the people in our community that, you know, are vilified by urban people or environmental people. Oh, yeah, they want to cut all the trees and ruin the environment and foul up the streams and stuff. These are the people we're looking at. These are the real people that pull their communities together. You know, several of them had Paradise roots there that, you know, were part of that. You know, it's John Wheeler Logging from Red Bluff, and Sierra Pacific also kicked in on that hat auction there, and we had a presentation. So, you know, there's a lot of good that comes from this. So anyway, I know you want to talk about a lot of things.
Well, but you know what? I'm so glad you shared that with us, Doug. I think the people need to hear that, because that is the positive part, that, yes, we had a horrible, horrible tragedy up there. And in here in our town, we did not have the loss that they had up there, of course, or the utter destruction they had. But this kind of makes you feel like, hey, yeah, you know what? You don't quit. You
well,
keep
you know,
plugging
the power fire
along.
The power fire did look like that.
It did. We were fortunate.
You know, the Fire-Nado and
oh my gosh,
the incredible things that were happening there with that high wind, and people couldn't get out of there fast enough. I
mean, no, it was
that super sad story about the grandfather and his family.
Oh,
that,
yes.
That were, you know, I mean, I don't even want to say it out loud again, but, you know, we were all just so shocked by the car fire, and, you know, and the recovery needs to happen. We had three cabinet members out from the administration to see how to go about that, and the only reason we would even think about that, and you know, I don't know if you were talking about it in first or second place, how that could be second place to anything, is the enormity of the Paradise Fire in, yeah. in the surrounding areas, Nagoya, Concow, well, Yankee Hill. That's so incredibly huge. So you know, for the people of Car Fire, no, we haven't forgotten. And we haven't forgotten for a minute how horrific that was, and the recovery still needs to happen.
Well, let me.
But I think everybody understands that we've lost it, and on top of that, too, an entire town. So this is a double whammy for Northern California. And then that's on the heels of the spillway crisis
in
Oroville here. You know, Sheriff Corey Honey of Butte County, he was a keynote speaker last night, you know, Senator Jim Nielsen introduced him, and he called him America's Sheriff for just...
I tell you, he did something. He was a miracle worker. Let me just I've skipped one break. We've got to take this one. But
sure.
Hey, I want to talk about when we get back some things that are happening in Congress. One of the questions we had was the atmosphere with Bill Barr starting to investigate is one of them. But the last thing I wanted to say about these fires, or not the last, but for now, is what we're finding, and I'm talking to a lot of people, is people that had fire insurance that they thought was more than sufficient for their homes, they're finding that it's not, because of three or four things. One, the new regulations that says you have to put in, the water sprinklers in every house, but they do have to do things like new wiring, new plumbing, new types of windows and all this. And then the cost of labor has shot up, and the cost of
retrofitting current homes,
yeah,
or what it will take for a new...
Yes. And then the cost of labor has jumped up because there's not enough people, but the cost of materials. One person had a quote, and because they can't get concrete, or they couldn't get concrete, they added another 30% onto it because there's just no concrete to be able to come in and use it. I mean, this is impacting on a lot of people in their rebuilds.
I'll be happy to speak with you about that, but you know, there's a lot of things in play on housing and housing costs. And start number one. We live in the state of California.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
and I think you know where that's going.
Oh,
but let's go ahead and you know pay your bills there, and we'll come back, right?
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. Okay, we'll be right back after these messages. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. It is 8:28 in the morning. It's about 62 degrees already, going up to 86. And the weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. We'll be right back with Congressman Doug LaMalfa.
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill. Featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hey! Got to pay back!
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Good morning, everybody. 96.5 FM. This is Carl and Linda Bott. You just did that, but this is Free Fire Radio on its beautiful Friday, 8:33 in the morning. Again, it's going to be a temperatures around 78 today and low of 54. Hey, we did have a caller that talked to us, that called in about the Reading Dance Center Firebird and Let It Move matinee performance. I also have the evening performance, but I got a handful of tickets here, folks, to give away. And I would love to have you call, and that is for June 8th. So that's a Sunday. You can matinee or evening, and I can give away four or five or six. Well, let me see. Yeah, I've got a handful here that I can give away for Sunday's performance. So do call 605-4567. Let us know. Jared's waiting by the phone. And let's see. I'm going to give away two Mamma Mia tickets right now as well. That gives you this is for the opening weekend. You have to come and get your vouchers from us. Then you go down to the Cascade and redeem, like, where you're going to sit. There's, like, a blue section for these giveaway promotional tickets. So 605-4567, either two tickets to Mamma Mia. And how about, again, Reading Dance Center presents Firebird and Let It Move You. It's going to be a fantastic, beautiful dance show.
Okay. Let's get back to Congressman Doug DeMoffa. Congressman, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Morning.
Okay. The question was, do you have anything to say about what's going on with Bill Barr and the FISA investigations? What's the feeling? How do you feel about this?
Well, they've been vilifying Bill Barr since the moment his name was put forward for Attorney General and looking for this. It was like a Kavanaugh 2.0 or Kavanaugh Jr. situation. It didn't stick. And so, you know, he properly handled what the outcome of the Mueller report is and did so respectfully and carefully and within the law on how they released what they did at the time they did, you know, so redacting what was appropriate in order to protect people that are in sensitive, positions of intelligence and around the world. So, I mean, he does things the right way. He's a pro, you know. We've forgotten what professionalism is in this country because now we're just becoming a people of emotionalism and got to have it right now and, whatever the political end is worth the means for many on the left. So as far as them pushing forward, you know, we've gotten the Mueller report behind us. The Dems aren't over it yet because they didn't get what they wanted out of it. So they're going to manufacture their own ways to try and get Trump with Nadler and the gang on the Judiciary Committee. They have the majority in the House, unfortunately, for 731 days. So they can rule the roost on this and they can run roughshod. I think the biggest thing there is for the American people to be watching how that goes and, don't reward it at the next election. That's a good theory. You would think of watching them with their Antifa and their protesting and crazy behavior standing in the middle of the street screaming about the Trump election between 2016 and 2018, the awesome economy we have and so many good things that have gone on under this Trump era. That they wouldn't have rewarded that behavior for the Democrats between 2016 and 2018 yet. But we lost a pack of seats in the House. A whole bunch of Republicans retired. And so these seats, when they become open and it's not an incumbent and they have people they don't know, then, the voters are looking at things differently when they have two brand new candidates, a D and an R, in there. And so we lost a bunch of seats. We lost some seats just because you hear people say anecdotally that these are people that, don't like Trump, right? That takes care of a lot of the Democrats, but there's a handful of Republicans say, I don't like how he tweets. I don't like this and that. And Republican voters are even saying this were, to incumbent Republican colleagues they had. It's like, I like what you're doing. You're doing a great job, sir, ma'am. But I'm going to vote for the other person to send Trump a message. So you got some weird dynamics with all that. So bringing that back home to Barr here, with Mueller behind us, largely except for the Dems hijinks, it's time to start looking at how all this came about. That FISA court manipulation and just flat fraud that was committed using this phony baloney dossier, paid for by the Clintons, paid for by the Democrats, and facilitated by people inside the FBI, the Department of Justice, all through. We got gigantic problems here with that because, maybe it's naive to say forget the politics, but when you have no confidence in the upper echelons of your key investigative agency like FBI and the other areas, the FISA court is supposed to be the people deciding who and how we spy on who, right? Which is espionage is important for our nation's security. We find things out. Look at how important it was at Midway in the fighting the war in the Pacific, which Midway kind of gets lost during, you know, the D-Day era here too, with how important that battle was, where our Navy took out four Japanese carriers and other
it broke the back of the Navy. It broke the back of the Japanese Navy because we had broken their codes, and we couldn't even use that at certain times because of the reason, like at Midway, when we found out what was going on with them, so we could attack. So
we didn't want to give away that we knew by by showing too much.
Yeah.
That took restraint. So sometimes not do certain things by you got to make it look like you accidentally found out that information. Our amazing Navajo code talkers, those Navajo American Indians that were part of that, using their, in the world scope, obscure language to be part of that. But I'm getting away from the bar here, a little bit. That gets back to how important our ability to gather intelligence, espionage, and all that stuff is for our national security. You see that with that. You see that with, other wars and other things that help prevent wars. And so, the Dems, they just want to expose everything because they want a political end. They so badly want to get Trump. Well, they're not going to get him. It's not going to stick. And even, as I tell your listeners here, they look hell-bent on bringing up impeachment even without any real charges to point to. So we may well have this summer, this fall, an impeachment vote in the House because, again, with the Dem majority, they can do it. The Judiciary Committee can make the recommendation. Nadler's bent on doing that. Mrs. Pelosi is, weakening on that, even though she is pretty sure politically it's going to be harmful to them. So Attorney General Barr has a task in playing it straight. He has to play it much straighter than the Dems. He's not going to get away with saying this amazingly stupid and irresponsible rhetoric they say sometimes about, calling everybody a racist or this or that, like they call the president that. Just all the time, just offhand. And so, the sides, as you talk about what is going on back there, what don't I understand? I don't understand how they're getting away with that, and the media allows them to get away with it, not calling them out on the contrast. Look at every single almost every single presidential Democrat candidate. They have flip-flopped from their things that they believed in years ago. Kirsten Gillibrand used to be, pro-gun. And limitations on extremes of abortion. Even Joe Biden, these guys are all flip-flopping. They're all apologizing for their past positions when they were less enlightened, according to the hard left, And so they're backtracking. Joe Biden should probably be, whatever you think of him, one of their strongest contenders, but I think they're slowly torpedoing him one bit at a time, and I don't know who they're going to put forward. Attorney General Barr has an extremely important task in going after how this stuff happened inside the FBI, how this stuff is, how this fraud, how this corruption through that whole process, Strzok and Page and all these people, they need to be held accountable. Otherwise, it makes a shambles of that whole system, the whole system of justice. And
I look at it
anybody could be subject to anything if this is going to be the standard.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I look at this as almost like a coup. They were using specious material to get a FISA warrant, and FISA, as you say, is a very important tool we use to be able to gather information. And when you use it on a specious document that they knew wasn't true, that it was paid for by the Democrat National Committee and Clinton, but yet it went on. Do you think
that should have been end of story, right?
Right,
Mueller
should
have realized.
Right there,
hey, this
should
is end
have been,
of story.
Yeah, Comey right then should have said, this is not enough. Give me three more things that will back this up, and then we can go forward, which they couldn't. But do you
and
think
you
that
got,
this
you
means
got 2 weeks to do it, and they had nothing, yet they made it 2 years. So.
And so do you think this is going to lead for indictments for people like Brennan and Comey, Lynch?
I believe so, because this goes outside of the ability for Congress to have to do it in the Democrat majority. I think Barr's going to have to be very precise, very methodical in the way he carries this out, because he's even if they have video or something of going on and audio tapes of it going on, the Dems will squeal and say, well, that's not real, and the media will be right there backing them up on it to some extent. But we even see some of the media having to grudgingly admit certain things, as you kind of mentioned a bit ago. With the three worst are the L.A. Times, Washington Post, and New York Times. I can look at a headline yet another anti-Trump or anti-Trump administration headline, and guess it's one of those three that are writing that headline, because that's just what they do all day long. The LA Times, all day long. You don't see any criticism of both sides of policies that work or don't work. You see constantly it's all aimed at, you know, the Trump administration, pretty much Republicans, and grudgingly on what Dems may be doing, you know, on policy. And it always comes back to, what is the policy? What is the actual thing that's happening? It shouldn't be the politics of which party's doing it. What is the thing that's actually happening that's helping or hurting the American public?
Well, and that brings me to my next question. We have reached a part where they're looking at 1 million people, illegals, coming across into our country this year. They've run out of spaces. They're flying them into different parts of the country.
They're putting them on airplanes and flying them around. And the TSA, TSA's not even looking for ID now on them. They're just sticking them in there.
Yeah.
I've got to get
I know, we get strip search on our way in, but here's
my proctology exam each time. But, you know, it's just like, we don't have to do that to get through half the time, you know, and they're letting this happen, and they're letting the highest risk do that, and they're dropping them into, no wonder Trump said, let's send them all to sanctuary cities, let them have the fun with it. But you know what, he shoots from the hip a little bit, but man, that resounded from with most people I heard.
Well, I tell you what,
this tariff thing on Mexico, him threatening this 5% tariff, and it'll escalate up if Mexico doesn't decide to be a good neighbor and just let these people flow through from Central America, or their own people flow through our border. Dang right, you should slap the tariff on it. Now I'm going to have people bad. Oh, it's going to hurt my business. I won't be able to sell this. I won't be able to sell that. Oh, I get my stuff from here and I get my stuff from there. At some point, you got to draw the line and say, you know what? This isn't all about selling the next few tools from China or the next few things that came from Mexico. We got a true crisis here. It's a constitutional crisis. It's a sovereign crisis. It's one on the health and well-being of people first that live in our cities. You know, with that, I mean, this is all contributing to that. It's an attack on our just basic cornerstone of our security, because this is all just like ag workers coming across the border trying to get a job in the fields. We know it's different than that. And, yes, you asked at the beginning, how do I understand? No, I don't understand how
the left
gets away with it, how they get away with the media, how they get away with it, the ballot box. Why do our forests have to burn every year? Why do we have to run out of water in drought years? I don't get it.
What about, here's my question, is a lot of times, I mean, when in your dealings with Democrats, and I know you reach out, you've told me this, you know, you can't always be at loggerheads. I know that you're with bipartisan groups doing things. Did the Democrats say to you, you know, and kind of in private, gosh, you know what, we've got to figure out something here. This is bad. Did they ever do that? About the border?
You know, once in a while, one of the moderate ones will admit things. We're standing on the back of the House floor during votes. And
yeah.
One here and there, they'll admit, like, you know, I mean, one gal told me that when they're talking about Obamacare and how it wasn't working, this is, you know, 5 years ago or so, to just bring it up in their own conference amongst them, amongst their own family, you know, to say, like, you know, well, maybe we should tweak some of these things in Obamacare. Boom. It's a good thing there wasn't, you know, a guillotine in there, because no, you know, the Congressional Black Caucus immediately almost gets, you know, loud and upset, and the hardcore liberals in the room there, you know, that this is all about protecting Obama at the time, and no way we're touching Obamacare to any extent that looks like a win for the Republicans. You know? So, I mean, here we are with it.
The Democrats are pushing hard left. Don't they realize?
Hard left.
Don't they realize that the vast majority of the people in this country are middle of the road?
Carl, Linda, the only thing I can attribute that to is that I think they live by polling, and their polling indicates it's not that far out of whack.
Wow.
And that's what scares me. Because
The
more and more people are duped by what they hear in the media. You know, they hear the 10-second soundbite. They don't hear the, you know, 30-minute interview, you know, on Mark Levin's show or something like that.
Right.
Of where our side sits there and logically explains it out. They don't sit still for 5 minutes to listen to that, even 2 minutes. to listen to that, you know, because, you know, we can lay this out all day long, like, well, no, just, you know, having Medicare for all is just building on the failure of Obamacare, and it doesn't just come from trees. What are we doing to lower the cost of delivering health care? Lowering the cost of just the electricity at the doctor's office, okay? The fuel it takes to drive the ambulance, you know, $4.50 a gallon. In some places, like, you know, when I came out of the Sacramento airport there and the gas station they have there, I know they have it, you know, basically it's screw you pricing for the people returning their rental car.
So, how much is it outside of Sacramento?
It's four everywhere, $3.80. I mean, I'm not the gas price czar, but
yeah.
You know, so that's where the rubber meets the road for real people, and so the state legislature crammed that gas tax increase. It's been almost 2 years now through, and they put it. They also have cap and trade, and they also have that secret tax that, you know, Gavin Newsom's investigating. Where'd that come from, or why are these prices high? They're looking
tax.
For themselves. And so now you see stories. There's the one, the Orange County Register. I'd ask you to go find that. It's last night, I think. They're taking this tax money and actually getting rid of lanes so that they can have wider bicycle lanes. They believe that by taking lanes away, traffic will slow down. It'll be safer, and less people will drive cars, and they'll get on the buses and bicycles. Okay, does that infuriate you voters? Are you mad yet? When are you going to get mad? When are people going to, you know, just say, oh, they're all the same and it doesn't matter if I vote? Okay, well, guess what? The left is organizing. They're harvesting ballots. They're putting people on the ballot and they're winning elections. We lost half the Republicans in California last election, because of several factors. But you know, I think part of it is what Trump was worried about when he was out helping campaign for folks, saying, you know, are we getting a little complacent here? You know, we're kind of winning some stuff right now, or maybe, you know, they don't like Trump's tweeting or this or that, or, you know, his abrasive way, or the way the media portrays him as being all these things. And so if we're just sitting here back like, well, I'm not going to bother to vote, it doesn't matter, I have to go to jury duty, blah, 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 we're going to get what we get. And I, you know, I'm out here busting my tail. My colleagues are busting our tails to make things happen. And have people not showing up at the ballot box. You know, I might get, you know, a whole pile of money dumped on my head in this coming election here because of, you know, the way the Democrat National Committee organizes things here. I have to, you know, go out and beg every one of you for a few dollars in order to run a campaign, which is the worst. That's the worst part of my job by far, is this fundraising. Yeah, it's written in the paper, oh, LaMalfa, he's owned by the NRA, because, like, what, I've gotten, what, $12,000 over 4 or 5 years for the NRA? You know, I can be owned for that kind of money, you know? Really? That's ridiculous. It costs at least $500,000 to run an election. So it's you know, the rhetoric around it these days is
somebody
just
told me that somebody
and
told
not
me
not fact filled, no facts. It's just and if so, if people are going to buy this stuff, then they're going to get the result they get. You know, so,
well, doesn't that mean
that
the Republicans?
That point,
but Doug, doesn't that mean the Republicans have got to be a lot better in their messaging? That if sound bites is the way people are going, maybe we have to come up with sound bites that says Medicare for all. Means you lose your doctor. There's a soundbite. You're going to lose your doctor, and in most cases, if it's Medicare for all,
we're not dumb. We're not dumb. We provide these messages all day long, every day, and so the difference is how much money are we going to have to raise to pay for putting those messages out? Because we're not getting the free messaging that Eric Swalwell and these other guys get when they get on TV every day and talk about we got to take the guns because and I'm going to use you know, nukes to come take your guns and all this stuff. So we have to pay via fundraising, you know, from evil corporations and evil PACs and or just our neighbors or you know, big timber, big ag, big water, big cars, big dentists. You know, maybe I've had a cynical week here, you guys.
Like you're a little bit cynical this week, Doug.
And tired.
I'm
actually fired up right now, but this this kind of is a culmination of a lot of things I sit here and watch, you know. I'm sitting at my house on a farm in, you know, Northern California. You know, and by the way, congratulations to our farmer up the road here, Brian Dolly, on his successful Senate campaign. And,
yes.
You know, you know, we're a lot alike in many things. You know, third and fourth generation, we're seed growers and all that. So, you know, best to him on that. Now, guys and gals, there's an open assembly seat that cover Shasta County and Siskiyou County and, you know, Lassen and Plumas and Modoc and Sierra. So, you know, there's some interesting dynamics to be happening there. So,
does that mean you're going to back me if I run? Come on, let's hear it first. Let's hear it first.
I am not picking anybody until I see a field decide to come forward, you know, like that. And sometimes I don't go picking people anyway. It just kind of depends on the circumstances. But, you know.
It's going to be a battle.
But people need to be, you know, thinking about that, too. So, anyway. And we got to get, you know, we got to get solid people to come forward that inspire folks. You know, I don't, you know, it's not fancy talk and all that. It's just like, are they standing up for the policies and are they going to be a strong, you know, unwavering force in that tide.
Well,
nobody's
ever accused Brian Daly of being a smooth talker.
No.
But he is a man that speaks the truth and he goes right at it. So, you know, and it's now we have a representative, we have a senator that's from here. That, you know, Brian drives down every time he goes to Sacramento, he drives right through here.
Right.
And like you on the first Monday of each month, he gives us a call or he stops through. And it's good for the people to listen to you, listen to cynicism, to listen to the things that are going on, because it kind of puts things in perspective, you know.
Well, I hope it's not just, you know, I mean, maybe there's a little cynic to it, but I hope it's also advice.
Yeah.
I hope they're listening because, you know, we're in a republic. We're not a democracy, by the way. I hear everybody saying that all the time. I hear even Republicans saying it. We're a republic. We send people to go do the work for us because we don't have time to do it as all just citizens. And, you know, we're supposed to be, you know, maybe, I won't say better than the rest of the herd, but we're supposed to be leaders. We're supposed to be folks that are held to a higher level of integrity and all that. So that's what we're supposed to be doing, right? And so we shouldn't accept less than that. We shouldn't accept just fly-by-night ideas and whatever. But it is a hard task, and, you know, for our state legislators, especially, you know, on the right side of the aisle there, they just got an enormous task down there with that place. But it's not a heck of a lot easier in D.C. because that's such a crucible for worldwide dissemination of information or lack of information, because the stakes are so high, it has international implications and such. So, you know, I'm honored tremendously to do this work, and I'm grateful to be in the battle. And
well,
it's
you know, you brought
but it is very difficult. And if people continue to think that, oh, well, the church shouldn't get involved in politics, not advocating in a way that's not legal, but at least paid attention. You have this whole base of people out there saying, well, you know, politics, we don't want to talk about that. And a lot of people just say in polite conversation anyway, well, we don't talk about religion and politics. Well, what are the two most important things that affect your daily life or your eternal life? The people making decisions in politics in our republic and the decision you make on what your stance is with God's going to be going after in the hereafter. You know, what are the two most important things that decide your future, your family's future, and the ability to be free in this country and all that? So, you know, covered a lot of things here, Carl, but these are the stuff I listen about when I'm, or think about when I'm on the plane or can't go to sleep or whatever, and I'm wondering, why aren't people waking up to these basic founding cornerstone ideas instead of just giving up or being cynical and letting the left run amok because they organize. They are so organized. The technology and the dollars are throwing forward, and the media working for them 70-80% of the time. And we have a lot to overcome. So it's going to take everybody listening here to decide, okay, am I going to be complacent by this, you know, kind of like the president was saying, or are we going to dig in? Are we going to dig in and elect people in our districts in California? Maybe we'll win one statewide once in a while. Maybe we can help in a United States Senate district over in Nevada where we actually have a chance to win one where we don't in California. Or, you know, make phone calls into other states. That's possible with the technology. They're not long-distance calls. You can call, you know, like we had in our Republican headquarters 2016. They were calling into North Carolina during the early part of the day, and then they were calling into Midwest states as the election moved across. There is something everybody can do, you know, whatever your ability. There's stuff you can do to help turn the tide here. So if we don't, we're watching it erode right now due to lack of truth.
There are some things that I really fear from not for me, or even my daughter, but for my grandkids. I really fear things that are coming that can affect them. Everything from how we vote to amendments that are going to start disappearing. And I'm not just talking about the Second Amendment. I'm talking about the First Amendment as we get further and further. But we got to run now. But next time, I really would like to talk about, because you brought it up about money, is the effects of money and the when people say that, oh, they're getting so much money, you know, from certain interests, you know, lawyers, dentists, unions, the impact really on our representatives on something like that. Because that is, I think a lot of people, you know, are just cynical because they think that big money buys everything. And
well,
I don't agree with
just,
that.
It's so easy just to say that. Oh, yeah, you guys
know
about
that's
it.
What like, I mean. You know, that's what I mean.
And if it costs me to say $500,000 or $1 million to run an election, let's say, okay? So if each type of industry gives me, you know, 5,000, 10,000, you know, maybe a little more than that, that's only a percentage of the whole big amount that it takes to run an election every 2-year cycle. So can I be bought by